Welcome to the Gastric Health Show, where we help you achieve the happiest and healthiest version of yourself by motivating you to eat, move, sleep, and think better. Welcome to the Gastric Health Show. My name is Dawn Boxall, and today I have the pleasure of introducing you to Sheila. She is one of my clients that has been working with me for the last 7 months, and I got the privilege of interpreting her genetic results, and I just wanted to share her with you today and let her give you a little insight to what the experience was like for her and why it was important for her to get this information. So Sheila, welcome.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate you being willing to share with everyone else what this experience is like, but two, just kind of the mindset into what drove you to this point of wanting this information. But first off, I would love if you would just give us a little backstory of what got you to the point that you had bariatric surgery, and just kind of give us those details that, you know, most bariatric patients want to know. Where did you start? How did you get there? And then how did it go? Were you successful with that? And what were the results?
Great. Yeah. So probably like a lot of people, you know, the older I got, the more challenged I became with my weight. And it just kept adding and adding and adding. And every time I would try something, I might be successful losing 10 pounds, but then all of a sudden I found myself gaining 20. So it just kept increasing and increasing. And no matter what I did, it seemed like I was on the gerbil wheel. You know, I just kept spinning my wheels, and finally got to the point where I was at a number that I really, really wasn't happy with, and started really affecting my overall health. I had high blood pressure that couldn't be controlled. I was, I think, on like 4 or 5 high blood pressure medications, and it was continuing to spike. And so thought, time for something more drastic. You know, it felt at the time very drastic. Now in retrospect, it really wasn't at all drastic, but
yeah. So tell them what surgery, type of bariatric surgery you did have.
Yeah. So I ended up choosing the sleeve. I needed to lose, I was at 289 and my goal was to get below 200. So after discussions with my surgeon, he thought that was the best choice for me. And I agreed that that was probably a good choice for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And you did great, because you lost how much weight with doing that?
Yeah. To date, I've lost over 90 pounds. So yeah, I've been really, really happy with the results. You know, I really, the whole process was, I feel very lucky. I know a lot of people struggle with various aspects of it, but I did not. You know, I was very successful, followed all the rules, because I am a bit of a rule follower. So I think that did help for sure. But yeah, ended up being very successful with my overall loss.
I think that's amazing to lose 90 pounds with a sleeve. And I think that has served you well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You know, it really has changed my life drastically.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. So then about March timeframe, you reached out to me, and we kind of began this journey of genetic testing and exploring this piece for you. So kind of tell us the backstory of what was your thinking? What was your thought process of why you would want that information of your genetic roadmap?
Yeah. So at my year anniversary, you know, I was so excited for my journey thus far. You know, it was really Very successful. But then after exploring different information, I found that regain was real. You know, it's really a challenge for a lot of people to keep it off. And I was bound and determined after working so hard during that year that that wasn't going to happen to me. So I just started exploring various options. And honestly, Dawn, I don't know how I came upon you. I think it was through one of the bariatric kind of like Facebook groups that I belong to. Somebody had mentioned your name and started looking into your social media and really following you. And what you were saying just really resonated with me. You know, it made so much sense, your stories about, you know, not every diet works for every person. And why do some diets work for some people? And it just made sense that it had to be tied to genetics. You know, it had to be something about my body makeup would be very successful. And maybe that's why I was so successful with the gastric surgery even, you know, right. Could it be my genetics?
Yeah.
And of course, after getting the results, it just made sense. My whole life made perfect sense.
It does. Yeah. Yeah. I would say that's the cool thing about the genetic test, because you could literally not meet an individual, interpret the test, and then go to them and present them the results. And you could tell them what they've experienced their whole life. And maybe if they gave you the symptoms that they're currently experiencing, you could tell them what's probably driving it and what we need to do to move through and out of that. So it's so, I guess, mind-blowing that it's so spot on. When every genetic test that I do, it's like crazy the amount of ability that it really can kind of tell us your history and what we need to do to fix anything moving forward. It shows us where you get hung up, where your body is likely to get hung up and stuck.
And possibly could have, you know, easily slipped back, because some of the, you know, things that you don't realize really affect your health and well-being can easily be seep back into your life in ways that are unintentional. You know, it's not necessarily just the overeating or overindulging, or, you know, I eat more, I don't want to say junk, but more. I in my mind couldn't eat chocolate. You know, I thought that was a bad thing. Well, my genetic results say actually it's a good thing, and I should be eating chocolate every day. And that was like, oh,
that was, I can like, do this. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You learn, well, especially with kind of a food forward approach, it really does bring to light the foods that are beneficial to your health, and not, you know, not all foods are equal. So it's like you learn how to utilize the foods to your advantage.
Yeah. For sure.
So maybe give, if you can remember, give an example of how the test was. When you got the test kit in the mail, what was it like to complete the test and send it in?
It was super easy, right? Yeah. I mean, I think it was just a mouth swab and stick it in the mail and, you know, dropped it in a mailbox, and that was that.
Correct. It's like 2 minutes and you're done. Yeah.
Exactly.
It is so painless, and it's so, and they make it very simple. They have all the instructions and
everything you need.
Everything you need is in this little cylinder, and you're done. Literally, you do the cheek swab for a minute or two, you put it in the thing, and you ship it off. So you
in a paid self-addressed envelope, even. Yeah. Like, you don't even have to go to the post office.
Right. Yeah. It's just stick it in your mailbox and it's taken care of. So, and it does take anywhere from 3 to 4 weeks to get that interpretation in. So that, I'm sure that anticipation in that month time is not always enjoyable, but
it's hard waiting, but worth it in the end for sure.
Yeah, Exactly. And you and I, we got, once I got the results in, I messaged you and said, I have them. And I'm like, okay. And it was literally like within 3 or 4 days, we were interpreting it. If I remember right, I think we were like, okay, I have this time available to you. Let's do this day. And it was like 3 or 4 days later. So,
did a lot of work. So I was pretty amazed that you were able to get that done in that short a period.
Yeah, because it took us a pretty close to 2 hours to interpret your results.
Yeah,
it was. It's a long report, but again, the goal is that when you go through this, you have at least a good enough understanding of the information that is contained in those test results.
Right, and that meeting with you was so helpful, the way you broke it down and the way you shared the results, because I think if I had just looked at that by myself, I think I would have been really confused by a lot of the information.
Agreed. Yeah. And I will say, like with the 3x4 genetic test, they do direct to consumers. So anyone can purchase this test for themselves and get the interpretation. It's just not necessarily laid out to understand it super easy in a way by just looking up the test result. So that's where having a practitioner interpret it for you and kind of break it down. I mean, I think your presentation, because I do a whole slideshow. Oh gosh, I think it's like 50 or 60 pages long. I mean, I can't remember how many pages, but it's very thorough. Each area. Yeah. And each area. So we really get to dig into, all the details. So moving forward, you could use that information, and then we give you the results, and you could move on and never work with me again, and you would still have everything you needed to tap into in the future if something came up.
Yeah.
Because I try to make it so that you have those resources to refer back to when things pop up in life, because stressful things happen, accidents happen, you unintentionally do things that trigger things. So you can find yourself back in a position that some genes are maybe triggered or switched back on that you really wouldn't have expected, but here you are. So now you go back to the foundation and you say, what can I do to get these back to a less expressive state, to where they're not in a state where I feel all of these symptoms and feel bad or have the side effects that I'm having.
Put them back to bed.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Get rid of them for now. Not rid of them, but.
And I find myself sometimes, even now, just out of curiosity, just reading, just peeking at it and just looking at it and thinking
back.
And, just again, changing up my diet a little bit, thinking, oh, what could I maybe try differently if I want to, just lose 5 more pounds or whatever. And So I definitely reflect on it.
Yeah. Now, when we kind of started this process, your health goals, I have, I'm looking at kind of the interpretation report, and I put together your health goals, and I had put on there, understand what impacts your ability to maintain a healthy weight, manage your cravings, and understand your disease risk. Those were your three main areas that you wanted more information on. So if we kind of look at those, do you feel like after the interpretation, you really have a good understanding of how you can maintain a healthy weight?
Absolutely. I mean, everything in that report helped me realize, I need more green leafy vegetables. So how can I add those into my diet on a regular basis? Because I easily, I would often eat a spinach salad for lunch, but you know, getting them in, what do I think I need 5 cups a day. That's a real challenge, especially with the sleep, you know, because, you know, back in the day, I could probably eat a salad with 3 cups of spinach or something like that. But now, you know, I'm lucky if I can get 2 cups in dirt for a salad. So looking at, you know, how can I add those? And you had suggested the smoothies. And now that's my favorite go-to in the morning. It's so easy. It's so, you know, another cup of green leafies is so easy and so delicious. And
Right. It makes it simple.
Yeah. And then, caffeine was such an interesting one to me, you know, because I knew I did not feel great with caffeine. And I really do think it contributed to my blood pressure being high. You know, I'm not on any blood pressure medication, but would sometimes get like heart palpitations or something if I drank a little too much espresso, which I love. So, you know, just really coming off that altogether. Every now and then I'll have a cup if I'm feeling really tired, or but hardly ever anymore. And so that's really interesting.
Yeah, because you were a slow metabolizer of caffeine, meaning that it's going to take a while for that to get out of your system. And typically caffeine in general, it takes about 8 hours for a normal processor. So not necessarily a fast metabolizer, but just normal processing, it takes 8 hours. So if you slowly process that, it could take you 10 or 12. So you can see how easily for someone, if you were drinking caffeine in the afternoon, how that could negatively impact your sleep and how that could impact your heart palpitations throughout the day, especially if you're drinking it in the morning and throughout the afternoon.
And when I was working, you know, sometimes you're just in meeting after meeting after meeting and everybody's serving you coffee and you're just, you know, next thing you know, you've had way too much coffee.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
And
so
you're
easy.
Really feeling awful.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but you're not correlating necessarily that it's the coffee or the caffeine that's doing it. But now you understand that you would have to make different choices if you weren't prepared or willing to experience those symptoms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is good. How about the cravings? Do you feel like that you have tools to manage cravings, and do you struggle with cravings anymore?
Yeah, it's the strangest thing. You know, every now and then I'll crave something, but now I find I'll have it. You know, I'll have a bite or two of what I want and go about my day and not think, oh, that's a bad food or I can't have that. Or, but, you know, chocolate was always my biggest craving. I was always craving chocolate. And now that I figured out how to get healthy chocolate into my life every day, you know, it really helps tremendously.
Right.
My
yeah.
favorite thing now are these, have you seen, you know, I love to cook. So dates, you stuff them with peanut butter and roll them in chocolate and roll them in peanuts. They're like little Snickers bars.
Oh, I have not done that. I've wrapped them in bacon, but I
skip the bacon.
That sounds delicious.
If you have a sweet tooth, they are just like Snickers bars. Yeah. So I use, you know, the Lily's chocolates, which have no sugar, the dark chocolate. And they are so yummy. So just figuring out how to combat your craving with a healthy version of that, I think is what I'm really focused on now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But again, last night I wanted a French fry. So I had a French fry. Yeah. I had 2 or 3 French fries, but then I'm like, ugh, I feel like hell, you know? Yeah. And I think that's the other thing I've really learned to do is listen to how my body reacts to food and really correlate that with, I feel lousy. I love ice cream.
Yeah.
If I have more than a bite or two of ice cream, I feel like bloody hell. So I know if I want an ice cream, I will steal a bite or two of one of my daughters or, you know, the ice cream, but I won't order a whole one myself.
Works. That's balance. That is a way to manage your health in a sustainable way.
Yeah.
Because having a few bites of ice cream is not going to mess anything up.
Right.
And not having, you know, chocolate when you truly enjoy it. Now, I think if I remember right, you were already one that enjoyed dark chocolate.
Yes. So I was lucky that way.
Right. So that was easy for you. You came to me already when you choose chocolate, it was already dark chocolate.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like we were shifting you from milk chocolate to dark chocolate to be able to do that sustainably and in a beneficial way. And whereas, you know, ones that's full of sugar maybe isn't a good idea to do every day, but in the approach that you're taking it being in more in an antioxidant form and polyphenol form is beneficial to your health, and the benefits far outweigh any risks that your chocolate is giving you. Yeah.
Which is a good thing for me.
It is a great thing. Yeah. I love dark chocolate myself. I probably have 1 to 3 squares. I would say 4 or 5 nights a week. I mean, I make sure we keep our dark chocolate bars at home. Yep. And I will say when I did your test, and I think I remember telling you this, that you had the most protective genes that I had interpreted to date. And I think you had, let me see here, 3, 6, 9, 11. You had 11 protective, oh no, you had 9 protective genes. And you even had 3 of them in the weight gain, weight loss resistance category. So,
interesting, isn't it?
It's so interesting. It is. So, and when we got to the appetite, well, the weight loss and weight loss resistance genes, when we interpreted those, it was showing us that you are likely to respond to weight management interventions. You can be successful. Your genes can set you up to be successful in those weight loss modalities. But the one thing we realized was all the strategies that you had really tried prior to having a sleeve surgery was not the same that your pathways was telling us from your genetic tests. You had a lot of detoxification issues, and those even had those, we break them down into pop stars. And those are ones that there's usually a couple of pop stars that may show up on people, and they have a really big impact. And your detoxification genes really had a big impact on your ability to manage the fat in a healthy way. And your body wasn't capable of managing any excess fat cells. And it was very efficient at growing fat cells. It liked to produce fat cells, and then they would become inflamed. And then your body would not, you wouldn't be able to tap into it. So I think the sleeve surgery really kind of shifted those genes for you and allowed all that stuff to become to a neutral place, that now you have the tools. It's like kind of reset all of your genes in a healthy way, that now you have the tools moving forward to know that, hey, okay, I just need to evaluate what I'm doing, what I'm exposed to make sure I'm not, getting some type of toxin in a way that I'm unaware, mm-hmm. or I've, started drinking alcohol, several times a day, or, several times a week, that your body's having to pause on detoxifying naturally everything that it produces, all the toxins it produces. Now it's having to detoxify the alcohol first. And that's when things can kind of get backed up. But for you, I think, the detoxification and the blood sugar and insulin were the bigger ones for you, for managing a healthy weight.
And then with that toxicity, I get to enjoy Epsom salt baths and saunas and all those things that I found out, are so good for my health, right, that I have to have a massage.
Yeah, exactly. That helps. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for you, that and the exercise, and that is one thing that you have done fabulous at. Tell them what you do for movement, because you are so active.
Right now, I'm on a bit of a hiatus as I just got my knee replaced. But prior to that, I'm very fortunate too. I also retired during this time frame. Yep. So found myself with a lot of free time, which I had never in my life had. So with that free time and with my new body, I decided I really wanted to explore some new fun things and also move to a new town. So wanted to meet new people. So I joined a pickleball group that plays every morning from 7:30 to 10, I think they play. I just went back for my first time Monday, so I'm so excited.
Oh, that's amazing.
Getting back in, yeah.
No, that's
eight
amazing.
Eight weeks post-surgery. So
that's amazing. Yeah, you did great. Excited.
But they're just a great group of people. We have so much fun, so many laughs. So, you know, that's more fun than exercise, really.
Right.
And then, I have a bike and live in a town that it's very convenient, you know, to ride my bike to the library. I can ride my bike to pickleball. I can ride my bike to the beach. So I try to use my bike as transportation as much as possible, just to build that in every day. And my all-time favorite thing is to walk the beach. So I was walking about 3 miles a day on the beach, and that just clears, that's more for my mind and soul more than anything else. You know, I wasn't trying to break any world records or but it really helped ground me. And then I found you and I had talked about strength training and really the importance of strength training, especially for someone my age, postmenopausal women, you know, that's those muscles just deteriorate so quickly. I found an amazing program that it's called B-Tone Fitness. It's just a local woman who started this practice, and it is a form of Pilates, not really Pilates.
Yeah.
But it uses that machine, that Pilates machine, and really focuses on, you know, core, all the different muscle areas. And again, it's 10 women in a room with loud music and just lots of laughs and fun. So it doesn't even feel like I'm working out. So
yeah,
those are the things that I really focus on in my life to move my body.
Yeah, which you've done great with. You've always been active since you've had surgery.
Since I've had surgery, it's been a little more challenging. Since I had my second surgery, my knee replacement
Your
surgery.
Knee replacement.
Yeah, I'm up to walking a mile now, which I'm happy to do. But it takes me, you know, I used to walk a mile in maybe 20 minutes. Now it's 30 minutes. So still a little slow, but.
But great. Still.
I just got cleared to start riding my bike. So I'm going to try maybe to go out today and take a little bike ride and see how that goes.
Yeah.
I'm cleared to try pickleball. So I tried that the other day, you know, again, slow, but.
Yeah. But that all of that is, it's like even having those 8 weeks of not being able to do the things that one, clear your mind, set your mindset right. And, you know, community, you're socializing with lots of women and enjoying yourself. That was kind of
That's the other thing I forgot. We have a Nordic walking group.
Yeah.
So I joined the Nordic walking group, and those are great. Again, usually a group of, you know, 10 to 15 women all tromping through the woods with our Nordic walking poles. And
you even with taking 8 weeks off with knee replacement surgery, you were able, once released after doing all your physical therapy like you did, you were able to go back and get right back in the rhythm of doing all those as quickly as they allowed you to, which is great. It wasn't like you took the 8 weeks off and then you've struggled to get back in that routine. You haven't. You've jumped right back in.
Get back in, because I know how good I feel when I do it. You know, I know how I think I talked to you our last session that I feel like my muscle is just melting off my body, and I know how hard I work to put it on my body. So I just can't wait to,
yeah,
I feel so strong. And especially, you know, I'm a single woman in the twilight of my life, you know, so to feel strong and powerful and to be able to do hard things with my body at this age, you know, it's really, it's powerful.
It is, absolutely. So that you know that you have everything you need to care for yourself. Mm-hmm. And in your 80s and beyond, I mean, you could easily, you're setting yourself up for longevity. You yeah. could, I mean, and I can't remember if some of your genes were, any of the beneficial ones were for longevity or not. I don't remember.
Well, the thing I'm most worried about that we talked about is my mom has dementia. So really, you know, warding that off.
And that was a high impact for you as well. The memory and mood piece, that was one. But we did discover you don't have that APOE4 gene that really sets people up for Alzheimer's and dementia. You did not have that. You have some of the other genes that can lead to memory and cognition problems. But if you set your lifestyle and your, you know, add the things into your diet to keep the blood sugar and insulin controlled, and you keep your liver flowing and working efficiently with detoxification, you will do well with supporting that. So yeah, you were able to see that, yes, those are there. They're not active right now. And you have some tools that we can tap into if needed, if they start arriving or you start noticing changes. And I think we gave you some goals of, to work on like coordination things.
Yep.
And yep. Let me see if I can find.
Cause learning new skills, I think.
Yep. So, hand-eye coordination.
I just learned how to play mahjong, things
exactly.
like that.
Yeah. To work on those.
And the pickleball is the hand-eye coordination. That's the.
Yeah, exactly. So you, and when you started with me, had you just started with pickleball, I feel like?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. That was all new. And so we were like, okay. New. Yeah. Great. You'll have that piece with that. And then we're like, you know, work on brain games and, you know, different things that can help, you know, challenge your brain and learn a new language or do something that uses your brain in a different way to help keep that memory and cognition sharp. So yeah, you have a lot of the tools necessary. And I think a big thing that really isn't going to be recognized on a genetic test, but is super important for everyone's well-being, is just that sense of community and having those connections with other people. You have lots of touch points. You have lots of people that you have as a resource.
Mm-hmm.
Even with your knee surgery, you had friends that came in and cared for you, cooked for you. And something we haven't mentioned, but you have celiac disease. Yes. And the genetic test did show that she was a medium impact for a gluten problem, and that she had a likelihood of developing celiac disease. So again, another way to see how powerful the test really is and how spot on it is, because you've been diagnosed with celiac disease for 20, 30 years, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was when my third child was born. So she's 28, going to soon be 29. And I think I had told you that when I was diagnosed that long ago, they didn't do the same testing that they do now. So I was never 100% sure that I was a full blown celiac. So it wasn't good to know, but it is good to know that, you know, I have been following this lifestyle for 28 years for
For a good reason.
Reason.
Yep, exactly. A valid, very valid reason. Agreed. Yeah. What would you say to someone who's on the fence about completing a genetic test?
It's funny. I just had this conversation with my son, actually. It's, it's expensive. It's very expensive, but so is being overweight. To me, it was just a priceless piece of information, knowing again that I can set myself up for longevity. I just had my first grandchild. I just found out I have a second on the way.
Oh,
so
that's
you
exciting.
know I really that being there for their lives is so important to me. So what can I do to live my best life going forward? And why wouldn't I invest in that? I think, you know, especially as women, we spend so much of our lives taking care of others and making sure others are all set and making sure that others have the best of everything. And we forget about ourselves. And I think that is a mistake I learned. You know, that's how I got obese in the first place, is I was too focused on making sure my kids were at their sporting practices and had, you know, the best skates, and I wasn't taking good care of myself. So, you know, when I retired, I was that was my goal, was now it's about me. My kids are all settled, you know, they're all where they need to be, and now I'm really going to take good care of myself. And I think the genetic test gave me all of the information I need in order to do that in perpetuity, you know, forever. I know now I can live a healthy lifestyle for as long as I choose to.
Exactly.
And that will make sure I'm here to take care of those littles and, you know, to make sure I get to enjoy life to the fullest.
Yeah, because even with your first grandchild, we were working together and you got to do some of the overnights and help get up with the baby. And
now I'm taking care of her 2 days a week now. So Tuesdays and Thursdays is Yaya day. I'm Yaya.
Oh, that's amazing. I love that.
Yeah.
So again, you've set yourself up to be capable of to do the things you want to do, and you don't have to feel held back in any way.
Yeah. And 90 pounds ago, I don't know physically if I would be able to take care of a little, you know, it's a lot of physical work.
It is.
And, you know, I can't wait to get back to strength training to get hold that. She's, you know, 18 pounds now. So
oh my gosh. Yeah.
That's a lot of extra weight to carry around.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. Is there any last things that you would say to anyone or that you want to kind of leave it with?
Just, I think we talked at our last session. This is the best thing I feel like I've ever done for my, you know, well, maybe second best. The best was definitely the sleeve surgery. You know, that to me just set me on a course that made it, I don't want to say easier, because again, it was hard work, but it set me on a course where I felt like I could make a drastic change in my life and be successful doing it. And then to have you come in, and all of the knowledge and everything I've learned from you has just helped me so much in my trajectory of having a really healthy life.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And just being able to enjoy life to the fullest, which, you know, again, I feel like I have not enjoyed life this much in a long, long time. So now I have a new knee. So now I'm going to start paddleboarding and kayaking.
That's awesome. Yeah. Heck, why not? Yeah, exactly. The things that maybe you desired to do when your kids were young and you were so busy taking care of them, that you now it's like, let's do the fun things.
Play.
Yeah. You have the body that is available to do these hard things that can take you anywhere you want to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good life.
It is. That is amazing. So awesome. Thank you so much, Sheila, for sharing your story and explaining kind of the process of doing a genetic test and what type of information you get from it and what you can do with that information. So thank you.
Thank you, Don, for everything too. Yeah. I really I appreciate you so much and everything you've given me.
Awesome. Yeah. Very good.